recording.
The squiggly lines, yeah, they're there.
Loads of squiggly lines.
The squiggly lines yeah. are there, so yeah. it must be recording.
Yes.
Welcome back to the Grove and Youth Podcast. I'm Connor.
I'm Daisy.
I'm Zion.
First question, where are we today?
Ooh, we are in the art gallery. Of Grosvenor.
Mm.
Yeah, you've got a couple of artists in Grosvenor if you didn't know, and there's a lot of their work in here, so yeah.
Shall this be our, is it too early in the podcast to do the, you get a prize if you get the right answer? Or do we need to force these people to listen to the end for that?
You could get a high five.
If you can guess where we are based on those clues.
Yeah, you come get a high up and five. Find us on the next Sunday that you see us.
Deal. Okay. How has life changed for you two since the podcast?
Since becoming parents.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, it's been... I think I hadn't pictured church family listening to it other than teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So getting texts mentioning that they'd listened was kind of... It was both really encouraging and also...
Well, it depends on what the text says.
But they were nice texts. They were lovely texts, so it's okay. So that was a bit weird.
Yeah.
Weird in a not a bad way.
Surprising.
In a surprising way. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny though.
I mean, I just, like, I feel it already. All the eyes on me, you know. Like, I've been practicing my signature. Like, it's pretty cool. Yeah. And we got some comments as well. Like, I don't know. Like, we're good.
Yeah, who knew that? Places. Episodes on Spotify had a comment section.
Yeah, that was news to me.
Yep.
We'll need to keep an eye on that. We don't want things to get nasty.
Get a moderator on the comments.
So far, so good, though, I think.
So far, so good. Nice comments so far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, constructive feedback.
Mm.
Appreciated.
Yeah.
And also just, it's encouraging. It's helpful.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Plan for today, we're going to go through our top three commands. Not because they're the best three. We're not allowed to have favourites. But these are three that when they come up in our series, we find especially helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So we'll start with no other gods, and then we'll talk about the Sabbath, and then we'll talk about honouring our parents. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to read the first commandment. This is Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. What does this mean?
Yeah, it's really short and it is quite simple. God is speaking and he's speaking to his people. So the you is God's people.
Mm.
And God is saying mm-hmm. that you, my people, mm-hmm. should have no other gods before me being God. And that's God's with a small g. That's anything that we put in front of him or make more important than him or mm-hmm. put above him in our daily lives.
And it's not anything. That's really helpful. It can be anything. Yeah.
Mm.
It's not necessarily a spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's anything that's more important to us.
Yeah, it can be good things.
It can be good, yeah. But if we make them more important than God, it's not so good.
Yeah.
So, as we thought about this, Zion, what did you find challenging?
Yeah, with making something a god, well, putting something above God, like Daisy said, it can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, that was always answers to things. So understanding things. I mean, I guess it kind of relates to my interest in like my course and stuff, sociology. But like, I just obsess over understanding what I don't understand. Well, if I'm interested anyway. And so quickly finding the answers to those things, like, always overtake God. They always become the things that kind of become more central or more important than actually, you know, sticking with God, following him. Yeah, so right. I find that to be the idol that I'd place above God.
So knowledge, understanding, answers.
Yeah.
And you're saying that sometimes wanting those things so much...
Mm.
gets in the way of your relationship with God and turns you away from him.
Yeah, because, I mean, well, I was thinking about idolatry whenever we did it last time. I was like, well, what about it does kind of capture me or whatever? And the thing is, it's what we find to be lacking in God that we tend to look for, or we tend to put above God. So
the I think in that way that if I think that God's not giving me enough of something, or I think I need something, and for me a lot of the time it's security or safety, and if I don't go to God for that or don't look to God for that, and rather than answers, which maybe is, if I'm understanding this, maybe where you go for that sense of security or sense of understanding.
Yeah.
But I go to plans and being organized and being
Control?
In control, and I'm trying to be in control because that makes me feel safer. But actually, my safety and security comes from God, and God genuinely is in control.
Yeah.
Making a list doesn't put me in control.
It
just makes me feel like I'm in control.
Yeah.
But that's where I can often tend towards idolatry in that sense. It's wanting to be in control of things.
So there's things that only God can really give.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't think he is or he will, we try and get them from elsewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So some quick examples of where teens might struggle with this?
Yeah, I mean, exams.
Okay.
And when we talk about success and respect and
Achievement
and doing well. We have this kind of general doing well idea.
Yeah. Or even just even with like fitting in or like their friend groups or what's going on in their like life at the moment, those things I think are really big for them.
Yeah. And like it's relational things sometimes, you know, that fitting in.
Yeah.
We want to fit in, we want to be loved, we want a place to call home.
Mm-hmm.
God offers all of those things and will provide all of those things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we don't think that, and therefore we obsess over getting them.
Over getting a different way.
Yeah.
Whether it's straight A's or the right clothes or the right sport or doing better at your sport to be accepted by your friends.
I think it's much harder to be faithful to God than I think we sometimes give credit for, because when those things come up, like when we are really wanting those things, it's so easy then to be like, well, how can I make another God that's maybe not put God all the way down there, but just below getting friends or whatever.
Sometimes we try and serve many. We're like, well, I want to keep God, but I want to have a blow. Back up.
Yeah, because we're not trusting him. If we're looking for a backup.
And it's hard because so much of this is mindset.
Yeah.
And our heart, like, we can look at what we spend our money on, how we spend our time, what we talk about. And I do think those things will sort of be signs of where other gods are. But really, it's about our heart's attitude towards trusting God and these other things.
Yeah.
So Zion, for yourself, as you've wrestled with this, what's been encouraging or helpful?
Yeah, like, I'm a real big skeptic as well. Like, I just never believe anything is as it is, if that makes sense. So I fall so easily into like relying on myself and relying on what I think is the best way or how to do things my way, you know. And if I fail at that, I don't actually have to do so much to I don't have to deal with that.
You can or cope if with I do, failing.
Yeah, because I'm trusting myself. So like, if I'm trusting myself, I don't actually have to look to any standards, but instead I can kind of do whatever feels right for me. Whereas when trusting with God, and this is the thing that I find positive or that helps me, is there is a standard there, and there's a constant reassurance and a constant truth about following God that, well, he always loves you. He always thinks you're wonderful. And there's more to life than tests, first of all, or more to life than whatever you're making an idol. So whether that be sports or friends or whatever it is, or answers, there's more to life than that. Just having that reassurance, knowing that God is in control of all those things, is always really, really helpful to sort of center me back into what really matters and my relationship with God.
Yeah, sometimes we have to recognize, oh, I've got this idol, I'm obsessed with it, I need to get rid of it completely.
Yeah.
So we knew, like, I want understanding answers, there's a party that thinks, well, I need to stop going after those things so much. But actually, instead, we can continue to go after those things, but with a different attitude, and, and to bring God into the conversation, and to go to Him with our questions, and to trust in Him when we don't get the answers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the kind of order that we put things in. That the answers are the security or the control or the...
Which matters most?
Yeah, what matters most, but also saying that any good thing is from God.
That's really helpful.
That when we do have a bit of a breakthrough and we're like, oh, I get that now, and I understand that, and I have this answer, or I've done loads of research and I've heard these different things, and it's all lining up, and I'm like, oh, I get that.
Giving thanks to Him for that.
And saying thank you for the understanding, thank you for the steps of thinking that have gotten me to this understanding.
Yeah.
But saying thank you for it is such a shift away from being...
Huh.
From putting that thing as the idol, instead you're thanking God for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really tiring to try and get that.
Yeah.
That safety.
Yeah.
From things that are not God. Because it's all on us, and it's work. To try and feel safe and feel secure. And that just, it links really nicely to what you were wanting to say. But yeah. Segue there into our next commandment. When we were going through our series, Connor, you mentioned in our last episode that the commandment about keeping the Sabbath stood out to you. It was really helpful. Would you explain what that means, first of all?
Yeah. So what we saw when we looked at this was it means don't work, do worship. And for them, they had certain kinds of work, and it meant that on the seventh day of the week, they had to stop a lot of their jobs, and later commandments go into more detail. It even meant that at the end of every 49 years, there was what they called a Sabbath year, where they had to stop a lot of work and worship.
A sabbatical. A sabbatical!
Yeah. Gravina.
Okay.
Big moment.
That is a big moment.
So the point of it was that was their way of, we need to rest, because the stuff we're talking about earlier is exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way we do life is exhausting, and God says, no, you need to take a breather.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone take a chill pill every now and then. And also by being willing to rest, we're showing that we trust God. We're saying, I'm not in control. I can't do all this work. I can stop and not feel guilty about it because I trust that God's in control.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you find particularly challenging about that?
Well, one of the things is we've got to work out, if we're saying to keep the Sabbath means don't work, do worship, we've got to work out what is work for us. I think that's different for different people.
Yeah.
So for me, one of the things that I would find hard is leaving a job unfinished. So let's say it's Thursday evening and I'm trying to write a talk for youth on a Friday and I'm just not happy with it. Sometimes there's a temptation to keep working too late and think that, you know, maybe not do something else I should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons might be, well, I'm trusting myself to do a great talk.
Mm.
Or it could be, well, I want others to see that I'm working hard or have done a good talk. And so to try and remember the Sabbath, I think, is trying to say no to those things and to trust in God. You, whatever I've got here, can you use it, please?
Yeah.
You know, it could be trying to complete a talk. It could be a job that's not done. You know, a Sunday's over and I've not managed to have a conversation with someone that I thought would be helpful.
Hmm.
Sometimes it's important to stop and say, well, I can't force it. I wasn't able to. I'm not God. He will in time.
Yeah.
But where do you, like, draw the line then from, like, thinking, oh, you know what, this is too much for me, but you probably could do a bit more, versus...
Yeah, that balance of working hard
and
not...
Overdoing.
Yeah, and not overdoing it.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I noticed when we did this earlier this year, which I've never thought about before, was it does say, 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath.
Yeah.
So it assumes that we are working hard for 6 days.
Mm.
So this isn't just a free ticket to...
To be lazy.
Be lazy,
yeah.
Again, what that looks like is different for everyone. People have different energy levels, different situations.
Mm.
Like with a lot, you can learn by looking at your schedule, maybe talking to others.
Mm.
But a lot of it is to do with our mindset and our heart, I think, and that willingness to take a break and stop working and to worship. So that's another, the other side to it is, it's not just about going on holiday. Real Sabbath is about looking towards God in a more focused way, I guess.
Yeah. And so what does that look like then? Like on an average, a typical Sunday, if we assume that you're resting on a Sunday, what might that look like?
Especially because you do youth work, so you're always in the Bible. You are kind of always, you know, aiming things towards God and your thoughts. So what does that look like to take a break
from that? Well, I think two of the big ways that I can do worship bit would be my own time with God, my own time praying by myself, reading His word, listening to good worship music. And that's something we can do all the time. So we've already seen, like Sabbath was a day, but it was also like a concept. And so for us, Sabbath isn't just about a day of the week. It's a thing that we can experience through Jesus.
Mm.
Actually, to a point, any time and any place.
Yeah.
So like one example I've learned is I walk the dog a lot. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I'll put in my earphones and listen to music or listen to a podcast or something. And that could just be for fun or it could be for work. But a habit I'm in now is I don't put them in until I'm at the end of my street.
Mm.
And it just means that there's sort of 5 minutes at the start of that walk, maybe less even, where other stuff isn't coming at me.
Mm.
I can pray in those few minutes, you know? I've discovered that I struggle to pray for a 15, 20 minute walk, but if it's just to the end of the road, then I'm creating a space there where I can go into some kind of Sabbath rest and pray.
Yeah.
The other one, I guess, would be making the most of church.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to come to church not exhausted. I would think about, right, what am I listening to in the car on the way in? Is it helping me prepare for church?
Yeah.
Phone can be a distraction, so I'll always put my phone in flight mode when I get to church. It just means that it's not buzzing, stuff's not coming in, and it helps me do the worship bit in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And my Sunday socks, of course.
Yeah, Sunday socks. Nice. If you want to know what that means, go talk to Connor on Sunday.
Yeah. Just look at his socks on Sunday.
Yeah.
What about yourselves? What is not keeping the Sabbath or keeping the Sabbath look like?
Yeah, I think actually, and this sounds so counterintuitive, but I've started getting up earlier on a Sunday, or trying to, because so often, earlier than a typical Sunday, not like earlier than I do during the week.
Mm-hmm.
So often I'd like stay in bed and then I'm rushing to church and then I'm late for church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not ready to learn and I'm not ready to actually think about God and to properly speak to Him and hear from Him and to worship together as a community. So trying to get up that bit earlier,
mm-hmm.
that I have time to get up, mm-hmm. and get ready and have a nice breakfast and be rested and not panicked when I arrive in the door.
Mm.
And it makes such a difference. And the Sundays that I manage to do that, I find so much calmer. And it's easier to actually hear what the preacher is saying and actually worship. Instead of just being like, I'm late and now I'm here and now I'm...
Yeah.
So, sounds counterintuitive, but getting up...
It helps you be fully present.
Mm. Yeah, and by earlier I don't mean... Like
4 a.m.
Yeah, 4 a.m. I run 100 kilometers and then I go to. No, it's still a reasonable sleep, so it's okay.
Zion?
I think for me the Sabbath is, well, I would say even at church, because I can't help it. I just get drained so easily and so quickly. You could say 4 words to me and I'm already like, oof, it's time to get home. So I think...
She was sleeping during everything Daisy just said.
Yeah. Where are we going? So for me, it's really been like just reading His word, talking to Him. And especially after, I don't know, like I've been working for... So like now I'll be... doing a lot more office work and stuff, so it's whenever that starts to actually expend me or whatever, turning and being like, okay, how can I rest again in knowing that, oh, God is with me, this is important, but also this isn't the whole meaning of my life. And it's really just in small moments where I guess I'm getting overwhelmed, saying, oh, well, actually, let's sit back and see how I can rest in God in this moment, instead of making it bigger than it needs to be, or big at all, to be honest. So, yeah, like that can, I mean, I wish it looked like a Sunday thing, but it also, like it looks like, it's a daily thing.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, now to think of a segue from Sabbath to parents. Thanks for the fake laugh.
Something. You're welcome.
And the real one. Right, honour your parents.
Yeah.
Daisy, what does it actually mean?
Yeah, it's... honour sounds like a big word. It is a big idea, but can be broken down to just mean respect, appreciate, and to put in a place of importance. So when we honour our father and our mother, when we honour our parents, it means respecting them and appreciating them. And if we respect them and we put them in that important place, the follow-on, the natural follow-on for that, is that we listen to them and that we obey them. And that word obey comes in Ephesians 6:1, when he refers back to this commandment. But we're thinking of listening to our parents and doing what they tell us. Easy, right?
Easy.
Super easy.
Yeah. So... So for you, when we talked about this, were there any challenges?
No, never. Not at all. Yeah, I found this really challenging, and was sitting in the talk and thinking, oh wow, I'm not a teenager, and I feel really called out by this, and really challenged to do better in how I interact with my parents. It's that attitude towards them, both now, when I was a teenager, and for the teenagers. But think about how we view them. And they are older than us, and they're wiser than us, and they're more experienced. And so often we see, I don't know, is it the same for teenagers, but I see a lot online of people joking about their parents and being quite disrespectful to the intelligence of their parents or the wisdom of their parents. And I think that's really fed in. But actually noticing that and realising and acting on it, that our parents have so much life experience and are genuinely wiser than we maybe see them as a lot of the time. It can be tricky, definitely tricky. And
can I ask examples of those kind of jokes you're talking about?
Like people like videoing their... I've seen like a video of their dad, and he's trying to fix something on the telly, and they're laughing at how the dad can't access the telly. You're like,
or like mum on her phone.
Well, my mum asked me to send another WhatsApp for her, and those, it's like, it's a little bit funny, but it's also like,
is it coming from somewhere deeper?
And just making sure that we're not turning that haha moment into a genuinely nasty view of our parents. It's tricky though, and it's tricky to obey our parents, and it's hard. Like, my parents were at a different stage of life in terms of our faith, and we were raised in a Christian house and going to mass, but we didn't talk about faith much, so it's tricky to... I found it really tricky as a teenager to honour them and to be respectful to my parents. And a lot of ways, the disagreements that we had, I wasn't patient or kind in the way that I spoke to my parents as a teenager.
Because there will be disagreements.
Yeah.
And we are saying that hopefully, although not always, like a lot of us do have parents with good life experience and wisdom and a lot to offer. But even when they don't, there's a way in which we disagree or think differently.
Yeah, and knowing that, yes, we should honour and obey our parents. We honour and obey God first, and then we honour and we obey our parents. And it's, we hope that it is in line, that they come at the same time, that it looks like the same way, but God is our first priority. But even still, if we're disagreeing with our parents. We can be...
There's a way to honour them, even where you say, I think differently about this, or...
Totally, yeah. And that's not being... not being a know-it-all about it and thinking that you have it all sussed.
Yeah.
I think I know less now than I thought I did when I was 15.
Zion, any challenges for you? Or as you think about, like, teens, in what ways might they have some challenges here?
Yeah, my mum and I were not friends when I was a teenager. Like, I just thought I knew everything better than her. And I mean, I think half of that comes from, like, cultural differences. Like, I grew up here, she grew up in a completely different culture. And so there's just things that were just not similar to the things I wanted to grow up doing or understanding or spending time in, that she did. And, like, I think that adds another layer to the way that I would treat her or her mindset or ideas and stuff. But for sure, like, looking back, if there was one thing I would do in terms of my relationship with my mom, it would be to appreciate, like, her, well, her life, her, but especially, like, she has so much to say about where she came from, and, I mean, where originally I came from, too, but where she came from, and the wisdom and understanding from a different perspective that I would have never even cared about. And I think there's so much that I could have listened to and could have focused on that I just didn't. So I would really try and honor her if I could go back.
Yeah.
I would not want to see footage of, like, when I was a teenager. So our teens are so good with us. Like,
they're so lovely to us.
They're gracious, genuinely.
Yeah.
Do what we say, like, more often than not, but every now and then there'll be a moment where there's, like, a response, and I'm like, I bet that's the response you give to your parents. Like, just a rolling of the eyes, or a snarky comeback or something. And I the reason I recognise it is because I did it and know it. And I think of, like, the hedgehog bristles, you know, the hedgehog, just, there's something about that teen-to-parent relationship that just causes us to bristle.
Yeah. And in all honesty, I don't know, does it change that much as you go into adulthood?
It might, yeah.
But,
yeah.
Like, when I'm still living at home and I live with mum and dad, and it can be, actually hearing this talk last year was really helpful to be like, okay, how can I still, because, we're adults and it's an adult relationship, but they're still my parents, and I want to honour and obey them, and I've always loved my parents, and I don't think I've always honoured and obeyed them throughout my life. So looking to love them and to act out that love by honouring them. So
what's been helpful or encouraging as you've...
Yeah, I was actually seeing it as a massive blessing. Not only that they are willing to keep me in their house, which is huge, but that we get this time together as grown-ups to spend time together. And most mornings I get to sit and have coffee with dad, and most evenings, most afternoons, I get to see mum and sit for at least half an hour and catch up, and it's brilliant. It's unlikely that there'll be another stage in my life that I'll get to do that as regularly, as frequently. I might get emotional, but just noticing the time and also taking the time. It's difficult to not just run out the room and be like, I've got so much to do, like, I've got so much work, I've got so much everything to do with the rest of my life, but actually taking that half hour, and it's a half hour I didn't spend on an assignment, or didn't spend doing music, or didn't spend whatever, but it was a really beneficial time with mum or with dad, and so much more worthy than...
I would really encourage our teens to think that way. I've had a number of parents from our guys just say they love just spending time with them. Even if they're not doing anything interesting.
Yeah.
There are days go by, weeks go by, where they just feel there's not nice quality time here. And teens have got busy schedules. They're stuck. There's other priorities. They love hanging out with each other and being with friends and church and all that stuff, and that's great. But I would really encourage you guys, make sure that there's good doing nothing kind of time at home with mum and dad, because they love you and they value that, and also that's really good for you.
Yeah.
Zion, anything else for you that is encouraging or helpful, or that you'd say to the teens?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about like the culture of today as well, and how that feeds into the way that we see ourselves, or like I was saying before about how we can tend to look like so much into social media and stuff for like ourselves or our reassurance and stuff. And I think that really plays into like, you know, the way that we, I don't know.
Yeah. How Daisy started.
Yeah. And so I think it's quite common that you're going to find in our culture that we think we know everything. I mean, we've got internet access. We've got kind of everything we need. So I think it's probably even harder. Yeah, it's kind of even harder to feel like mom or dad actually know what they're talking about when you're like, yeah, well, this dude on TikTok said to that, you know, or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know. I was just thinking of that.
Difference is they know you.
Mm.
Your parents know you.
Yeah.
Better than literally anyone.
Mm.
So they're able to say stuff that AI can't, and that even your friends can't, mm-hmm. and people at church can't.
Yeah.
Do you think all your parents listen to this?
I don't know. I said it to Mama. She's like really young. I said I'm recording my podcast. And she said, oh yeah, yeah. I was like, actually couldn't remember if I told her about it. So she does know. Yeah. Mom, if you're listening, hello. I love you. But
okay, we've gone through a lot there.
That was a lot.
Yeah. What time are we on?
32 minutes.
That's okay.
Put out that sappy stuff.
That's going to be at the start.
Right, thank you both. One thing I think, if anyone's made it this far, give us some suggestions. If you want us to do another one, what should we talk about?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Let us know. But don't let it be boring, please.
Don't let it be boring.
Yeah, make it something fun.
Yeah.
Make it something
controversial.
Thank you for getting this far.
Yeah, catch you next time on Grosvenor Youth Podcast.
Oh.